Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short bedtime tales and modern fables.
As evidenced every day in the news, individuals, small groups, companies, and large organizations make decisions that can, on occasion, have unintended outcomes. These can end up being a minor annoyance to some, an inconvenience to many, or a significant problem for us all. But what if this happened on a cosmic scale? Sit back and open your imagination as we listen to Makeshift Stories 32, Universe 8.1. Somewhere in some time, there might have been a last-minute change that caused a few unexpected results. The shrill pierce of the alarm clock insisted its way into Maddie Zarden's dream at a most inappropriate moment. She was on stage about to receive a well-deserved Pulitzer Prize for her book exposing the 300-year Illuminati conspiracy when the alarm's thoughtless persistence shattered her fantasy. Maddie woke with a start and was not in a good mood. Despite almost 10 hours of sleep, she was still tired and would have to endure yet another day exactly like the last one. Maddie dragged herself up, but not before paying the alarm clock back for enthusiastically performing its duty. After brushing her teeth and reheating some coffee she had found in the metallic pit of her old coffee machine, Maddie had gone through her food budget for the week, so there wouldn't be any more fresh coffee until next Monday. She slouched back into the well-worn office chair. Her friend had donated the derelict to her after getting tired of hearing her continual complaints about her back from sitting for hours on an old kitchen stool. Having seen better days before serving Maddie, it now sported a patchwork of makeshift repairs. It complained only slightly as Maddie eased her body back into the now familiar indentations permanently pressed into its aging foam. Maddie liked to think that she and the chair were in some ways kindred spirits. The chair, once a trendy piece of office furniture, now dethroned by the relentless onward march of taste. And her, an investigative journalist, now relegated to occasionally writing product descriptions for online stores through the inevitable displacement of the old news channels by instantaneous citizen reporting. But the current day, like all its predecessors, had not been one of those occasions where her services were needed. So, Maddie, once again, turned on her screen, expecting nothing for her effort. Which indeed was the case. Several messages with excuses for delays or cancellations of contracts due, in quotes, to the current economic situation were all that greeted her. So Maddie decided to scan her news feeds instead, expecting the usual barrage of depressing links to minor wars, corruption, and scandals reported as incoherent chunks as they actually happened. But today was somehow different. She glanced at the titles scrolling through her feed, and on the whole, they were almost positive. By a lucky coincidence, a safety inspector happened to be on a drilling rig in the Beaufort Sea when she noticed a valve that shouldn't be closed. Her quick thinking averted a major catastrophe. A window washer who had fallen from the fifth floor of an office complex landed in the back of a truck, carrying a load of unwanted stuffy toys to be recycled for charity. The driver pointed out that he normally hauled scrap metal. A last-minute diplomatic effort had avoided a major conflict when the chief negotiator accidentally discovered, etc., etc. And against all odds, almost every lottery had been won that day. Something had changed. She could feel it in her bones. Well, more specifically, the bones of her left hand tingled a bit, but still the world seemed somehow different. Odd, thought Maddie, but her interest had been perked. Now, as it turned out, Maddie was indeed correct. But it was not just her insignificant small planet that had changed. Indeed, the entire fabric of space and time had been suddenly and subtly altered. improved, one might say, if you held a certain celestial perspective on things, and Lambent Naip Noor was just one of those beings who did. It, for Lambent, was neither male or female, had been employed for literally eternity at the Infinite Macro Cosmic Reality Corporation as the assistant head of product design and customer services for Universe 8, or as Lambent affectionately called the new reality it had just rolled out, Universe 8.1. Lambent had been reticent to move the update into production, given the last-minute changes that management had requested to the ephemeral patterns of stellar nebulae. This had required a radical change to the probability engine. Management had wanted things just a little less random. It was a celestial curveball intended to throw the cosmologists of Universe 8 off track and, management had added, to make the Magellanic clouds more aesthetically pleasing. Management had always prided itself on the eloquence of Universe 8. Some parts of the great collective consciousness even claimed that U8 was the pinnacle of their eternal achievements. However, recent improvements to Universe 2 had made them somewhat uncomfortable, hence the rush to release 8.1. Lambent wished they had spent more time testing the randomization rules before releasing the update into the virtual fabric of the cosmic hollow matrix. But the early reviews had been extremely positive, more like raves, in fact, that spread instantaneously through the ether of eternity, exalting the exquisite beauty of the new stellar nurseries. Lambent's musings were interrupted by an urgent thought. It was not exactly a summons. She just knew that it was time to meet with management. And that was not a good omen.
Testing,
Lambent grumbled. Why hadn't they allowed time for proper testing?
Typical.
Every lottery had been won that week. The odds of winning anything at all was at least 14 million to one, but every major lottery? The chance of that happening had to be an impossibly small number, Maddie thought. She'd have to ask her friend, the math genius, to calculate the actual odds against before she posted online. The news streams had been full of speculation over who had broken the random number generator used by the lotteries, but Maddie instinctively knew the story was bigger. Smelling an opportunity to prove her journalistic skills and finally break a story that would relaunch her career, she dug deeper. First, she looked at casino statistics. There had only been a slight increase reported in the number of people winning, up to 8% across the board. There was some concern given the lottery situation, but 8% only cut slightly into profits, so managers had been advised just to keep an eye on it for now. Not much of a clue, but Maddie noted the stat and moved on. Next, she looked at the news feeds from the weeks prior to the start of the lottery windfall and calculated the ratio of positive to negative incidents. Maddie compared this to news feed titles from the past couple of days. There had been some amazing coincidences. A jetliner carrying 300 passengers with total engine failure had started to plunge like a rock from the sky. When the co-pilot took over the controls, the engines mysteriously sprung to life. But there were no apparent connections between the stories, and Maddie estimated that on balance, there had only been about a 10% increase in the number of positive headlines. Puzzled, she gave up and decided to examine the photos of the last 10 lottery winners. Then, Maddie saw the connection, laughed, and sank back into her abused office chair, instinctively reaching out with her left hand for a now cold cup of coffee. Maddie cradled it in her lap as she contemplated her next move. A message indicator popped up on her screen. She was about to dismiss it when she noticed the sender and the message title. It read, "From News World Online, re: Successful application for position." Maddie's heart almost stopped. She had applied for that job as a joke. She never really expected to get it. Management sometimes preferred to meet in the Central Holographic Projection Facility, or HPF, where all of eternity converged. From there, management had access to everything, every point in time, every particle in existence and non-existence, the effects of every decision ever made, and something conceptually like a large conference table that management used to position assistant heads of product design and customer services at one lonely end of to question. They, or it, sometimes management presented itself as a single omnipresent entity and sometimes as many individual and decidedly argumentative parts cleaved from the whole, only held meetings in the HPF when something of significance was up. As soon as Lambent manifested in the dense haze of realities and saw that part of management's consciousness responsible for Universe 8 occupying the high end of the table, Lambent knew there was a problem, and hesitantly took up the diminutive position at the low end. If a being such as Lambent could ever feel anything, at that moment it might have felt small and anxious. Lambent tried to ignore the accusing thoughts that management was broadcasting, and instead focused on the ephemeral concepts hovering around that part of the HPF that represented Universe 8. It was clouded with some rather alarming representations. The Magellanic clouds still hung stunningly in the ether, gracefully less random than before. There had already been rumors of a design award for that. But there were many other new, unintended strands. Management's thoughts pulled at Lambent's attention in waves of extreme annoyance. It directed Lambent's mind to the correlation between the dominance of a specific hemisphere in sentient brains and the profound lack of randomness that connected them to the underpinnings of space-time. If Lambent had had a heart, it would have stopped. Already the economies of hundreds of worlds that relied on gaming had collapsed, and their cosmologists were paying way too much attention to the subtle changes in the gaseous nebulae.
Lambent, this isn't good. The experts are concerned that the sentience of Universe 8 may even be able to deduce our existence.
Management exclaimed in an irritated tone.
Look, we need to put a spin on this and fast. I've called a meeting of the consciousness to address the follow.
Management's thoughts were like knives of accusation, piercing Lambent's being.
You figure out how to solve it. Call it a micro-update or something, a feature enhancement. But, whatever you do, don't mess up the new nebulae. We might win an award for that.
Management vanished in an angry cloud of vapory particles. If Lambent could, she would have groaned. Lambent had briefly considered pointing out that it was management's demand for last-minute design changes that had caused the problem in the first place. But what was the point? Management never listened. The Infinite Macrocosmic Reality Corporation was pretty much ruled from the top down. So, with resignation, Lambent quietly manifested itself back to the design lab to contemplate the problem and find a solution. As time doesn't really exist in the infinite cosmic non-reality of everything, it took Lambent neither a long nor a short period to come up with a solution. It just happened when it happened. The transfer mechanism hadn't been immediately clear. The effect that sentience didn't always interfere with the laws of chance. This Lambent had realized with a degree of relief. The ability to simply will a situation to change in one's favor would have been the worst-case scenario. It took a deep analysis to finally reveal the specific set of circumstances needed to create the problem. The sentient's dominant brain hemisphere had to be affected, and it had to be physically touching the environment with fingers controlled by the afflicted hemisphere while imagining a desired outcome. A quick statistical analysis predicted that only about 10% of Universe 8's population would have the ability. Lambent came up with a simple idea. Block the physical contact, and the problem would be solved. With relief, management had hastily approved the plan and headed off to announce the update. A new stylish office chair automatically adjusted itself to Maddie's favorite settings as she sat down to finish her first story for World Online News on the lottery windfalls. Everyone else was still pursuing the elusive genius hacker, but Maddie knew that was a dead end. No one had even guessed her angle. To test her theory, Maddie had played cards with her friends, tossed coins, and watched left-handed people in the news. She even consulted several famous statisticians, all of whom confirmed how fantastically improbable it was that left-handed people like herself were consistently beating the odds. Her first clue had come from studying the lottery photos and noticing that all the winners were left-handed. In fact, all recent positive news stories had involved left-handed people. For example, the co-pilot that had averted the plane crash was a lefty, etc., etc. The clincher came with the improbable job offer. Maddie, an unemployed nobody, had managed to land a prestigious job at the only news organization still in existence that hired reporters. How unlikely was that? Despite the evidence, Maddie had struggled with how she could present this weird fantastical theory to the world without being immediately laughed off the net and out of a new job. The answer had come from her friend, the mathematics genius, who, over coffee, had casually remarked that Maddie was crazy and must be creating associations where there were none.
Come on, you'd have to rewrite the laws of probability to make something like that happen,
Gina had exclaimed. So Maddie, knowing she'd win, bet Gina that if she wrote a probability calculator which favored left-handed people, its predictions would prove her right. Maddie had insisted they seal the bet by shaking left hands. Gina, of course, lost, and successfully predicted the outcomes of several major world events with her new calculator. The laws of chance had indeed been changed, and Maddie had the proof. The moment of the update announcement had arrived. The improvement, as Universe 8's management now referred to the problem, had been wildly successful. And now they would add to that success with an update to make it even better. Rumors had spread quickly, so the entire management consciousness was present in the central holographic projection facility. Unfortunately, most of it was in a foul mood over the reports coming in. That part of the consciousness responsible for Universe 8 opened the meeting by pointing out the great beauty of the new Magellanic Clouds and the long history of positive feedback from its sentient residents. U8's inhabitants were ignorant of the fact that there were other choices, so everyone in attendance took that statistic with a grain of cosmic salt. However, the charismatic presentation had its intended effect, and positive thoughts spread throughout management's consciousness, somewhat cooling their initial sense of indignation. Lambent manifested into the center of attention and began its presentation on Update 8.11. Maddie slept better than she had for years. Despite initial resistance from World News Online's editorial board, they had taken the chance and ran her story, which had touched off a huge controversy. The company's numbers hit an all-time high as Maddie and Gina's work was independently confirmed. Debate raged over what had caused the change and what, if anything, the world should do about it. Lotteries had instantly stopped selling tickets to left-handed people. Casinos had barred them from entering, and mothers all over the world were frantically trying to make their children left-handed. It was a huge mess, but what did Maddie care? She was a famous journalist now, and her employer was ecstatic over the growth in readership. The company's management was quick to smugly point out that the story was a result of professional investigative journalism. Maddie casually rolled over and reached out to intercept the alarm before it went off. The radio alarm felt like it was covered with a sweater as she fumbled for the right button. Maddie opened her eyes, then abruptly sat bolt upright on her bed, staring in shock at her left hand. It was covered in short, dense fur. Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 32.
Somewhere, Sometime, Universe 8.1. We hope you enjoyed the story tonight. Please tell your friends about us, and we'd love to hear from you. So feel free to send us an email at makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website. The opening and closing theme is PodSafe Music, licensed from premiumbeat.com. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative License, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't change anything.